We're doing brachos in the Ein Yaakov. We're up to Daf Samech Aleph in the Gemara, Daf Kuf in the standard editions of the Ein Yaakov. And our Gemara began with a discussion of what it means to love Hashem with all of one's heart and all of one's soul. And the Gemara quoted to us Rabbi Akiva, who said, "Bechol nafshecha," even if he takes your life. And then the Gemara brought us a story that the Roman Empire had made a decree that people shouldn't learn Torah. Rabbi Akiva went publicly and defied the decree, gathered the masses and started teaching Torah. Along came the pious Pappus ben Yehuda. And we discussed last time, Pappus ben Yehuda was the brother of Lulianus. Pappus ben Yehuda was the father of you-know-who. We discussed this last time. His wife was Mary, you know, we discussed this last time, who used to grow her hair long. And so Pappus ben Yehuda, who was extra pious, he was so pious, the Talmud says, there are different people who have different approaches to piety. You have people who are drinking a cup of wine and a fly drops into the cup of wine, and they take out the fly, they suck off the wine and throw out the fly. You have people who are drinking a cup of wine and a fly drops into the cup of wine and they scoop out the fly and they drink the rest of the cup. And then you have people that a fly drops into the cup of wine and they pour out the whole cup. I won't have anything to do with that. So the Gemara says there are different approaches a person can have in his home. And you have people who go to the extreme, and Pappus was one of those people. The Talmud tells us when Pappus would leave the house, he'd lock all the doors, lock all the windows to make sure that nothing ever happened with his wife. Well, you know what happened with his wife. It was a great plan, didn't work too well, because we know what happened. The most famous mamzer in world history came from his wife. But okay, Pappus was extra pious, and Chazal didn't agree with his attitude. Chazal say he went too far. So, Pappus was extraordinarily pious. They'll fill you in later. There's a lot of people in the world, but okay. She had a son who wasn't from him, who was admiring the woman in the inn. You know who we're talking about? You don't know who we're talking about yet. Okay, we'll get to that story. Wood, hammer, nails. Okay. So, Pappus ben Yehuda, I said as much as I could say online, you know, I never know who's watching. So Pappus and his brother Lulianus were fantastically pious people, as we'll see in a minute. And along comes Pappus ben Yehuda and says to Rabbi Akiva, "Aren't you scared of this nation? The Romans were the first empire that was so organized. Their military was so organized that they seemed invincible. You couldn't imagine that they would ever fall. Their legions were so tremendous. Their downfall came from internal struggle, ultimately. The Romans, Chazal viewed the Romans as a power that would stay for a long time, and that's why Chazal opposed fighting the Romans. So Papa says to Rabbi Akiva, he says, "Aren't you scared of this nation?" And he says to him, "You're Papas that everyone says you're so smart. You're not smart, you're dumb." That's a line. That's the way a Talmud Chacham speaks to another Talmud Chacham. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it's important to say you went too far. You crossed a line you shouldn't have crossed. So Rabbi Akiva tells him, "I'll tell you an allegory. There was a fox who was walking by the river. He saw the fish running to and fro. And he tells them, 'What you're running from?' They say, 'What do you mean? There are all these traps. They're trying to catch us.' And he says, 'Why don't you and I just come out to dry land the way our forefathers were together?'" Notice in Rabbi Akiva's allegory, there's room to talk about evolution a little bit, but we won't do that here. So the fish turned to him and they say, "You're the wisest of creatures. You're not smart, you're stupid. Now, if here, where we can stay alive, we're scared for our lives, what'll be if we go out to the dry land where we don't stand a chance? So to us, the Jewish people, if when we're learning Torah, we're so scared for our lives, so then if we stop from Torah, for sure we have to be scared for our lives." So a short time passed, and the Romans came and grabbed Rabbi Akiva. He's 120 years old, Rabbi Akiva. First 40 years of his life, he didn't learn a word. He had a first wife, he had a second wife, he had his son Rabbi Yeshua. Together they go out and they learn the Aleph Beis. And then after 40 years he becomes a great sage, he's got thousands of students, and he backs the rebellion of Bar Kokhba, he loses his thousands of students, and then the Romans come, what?
That's sort of, you're right, there's a lot, that's sort of more felt through.
Right.
Seemingly.
And then he has another five students. And they're the ones that are going to maintain the oral law. And he's an old man. The Romans try to seduce him. They send women to try and seduce him. They put him in a prison with women. And the women spent... What?
When one of the women tried to, she dressed very promiscuous and threw up or something?
We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
Slowly. That's another story. And Rabbi Akiva isn't interested. He's so pious. He spends the night spitting in each direction, to his right, to his left. The next morning, the women come to the emperor. They say, you put us in prison with a man who's not a human. So the emperor calls him in and he says, you're not human like me? So Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, what can I do? They smell to me like carcasses. I couldn't. What do you want from me? And his level, these women who were considered prime Romans, who could seduce anyone, but not to him, because that wasn't what interested him. And then Turnus Rufus, that cruel general, his own wife, he sent to try and seduce Rabbi Akiva. And when Rabbi Akiva sees her, he laughs, he cries, and he spits. And she asks him, why'd you do that? She says, well, I spit because you showed up here like that. I laughed because, well, whatever. And I cried because, well, whatever. He laughed because he foresaw that he would ultimately marry her, which is what happened. She was so taken with his brilliance that she converted and he married her. And he cried because he saw where that would lead him. He was cursed by his Rebbe, Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. When Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus was on his deathbed, the Gemara tells us in Baba Metzia and in Avos to Rabbi Nosson that Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus said to him, you're going to suffer worse than anyone else. You didn't come here when the rabbis ostracized Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. So Rabbi Akiva didn't come to learn by him. So as great as Rabbi Akiva was, he could have been greater. And so Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus said, you know, in one small area of halacha, I have 3,000 halachos that no one ever asked me about him. I have a tradition on 3,000 halachos in one small area about laws of kishuv. There's one aspect of laws of kishuv that I have 3,000 halachos that no one ever learned from me. Different time. Type of sorcery. And you, Akiva, where were you all these years? I wonder if you will die a natural death, Akiva. And Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus' curse, prophecy, however you want to interpret it, is about to come true. So Rabbi Akiva is thrown into prison. He's an old man, 120 years old. And Pappus ben Yehuda is thrown into prison right next to him. Why is Pappus in prison? Because the Roman emperor's daughter was riding on a chariot near his town, and someone killed her. So the Romans said they're going to destroy the whole Jewish town next to the place of the murder. And in walks Pappus and his brother Lilianus, and they tell the Romans, we did it, you don't have to kill anyone else. So the Romans say, okay, we'll kill you, we'll torture you to death. And Pappus says, you could torture us to death. So the Romans say, well, why are you admitting you did it? So they said, better you kill us than you kill the whole town. So they say, if you admit, we'll kill you, but why would you do that? So Pappus and Lilianus say, "Harbe dubim lifnei amakom." God has a lot of lions and tigers and bears and Romans. There are all kinds of wild animals that could kill us. And if God wants us to die at the hand of wild animals, and He chose it would be the Romans, so it'll be the Romans. And if He wanted us to die at the hands of wild animals, if it wouldn't have been the Romans, it would have been the bears. So we're doing what we have to do. Look at what a pious person he was to save a whole town. He and his brother confessed a crime that everyone knew they didn't commit. So Pappus is sitting in prison next to Rabbi Akiva. And they're both on death row. But Pappus was out there telling Rabbi Akiva, what are you teaching Torah for? And Rabbi Akiva said, If I don't teach Torah, I'll be 10 times more in danger. Amalo papus mi aviachakan. So papus looks at Rabbi Akiva and he says, hey, fancy meeting you here. How'd you get here? Amalo ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. So papus looks at him and he says, oh, I envy you. Shenitpasta al divrei Torah. We're in the same death row. But you came here performing the greatest mitzvah, ensuring the continuation of the Jewish people. You came here because you taught Torah. Oy li shenitpasti al dvarim telim. I'm in the same place as you are. But over what? I'm going to get tortured to death just like you, Rabbi Akiva. But what am I here for? For nothing. So it's true, his nothing was a big mitzvah. He's a giant. But still, he says, if we're in the same place, so who won the argument? They took Rabbi Akiva out to be tortured to death. Zman Kriyat Shemaya. It was the time of reading Shema. Vayu sokin et besaro b'masrekaot shel barzel. They had these metal combs, you know, they have those brushes for cleaning rust with metal teeth. You guys ever see that? I have one at home. So they took these combs with metal teeth and they started scraping off his skin. And that was the way they were going to put him to death. 120 years old. Vaya mitkaven lekabel alav ol malchut shamayim be'ava. And Rabbi Akiva is focusing to accept the yoke of heaven with love. With love? Can you imagine that? With love? So that brings us back to an important question. What does it mean to love? Many people will tell you if you're in marriage and you love, so you give and you expect to receive. Because if you've only given, that's not love, you're being taken advantage of. So let me ask you a question. You have a 3-year-old girl who's standing at a gas station at the entrance to town. And along comes a truck driver. He's been riding his truck for a long time, a whole day. And he gets off his truck, this big, burly man, and he sits down on a bench. And the girl walks over and says, "Mister, can I get you a drink?" So he says, "Yeah." So she runs back, she grabs a pitcher, fills it up, goes out and starts pouring him a drink. Cup after cup after cup after cup, and he's downing them. And she goes and refills, and again. And when he's finished, she says, "You know, I noticed in your truck, you got a lot of cattle. They must be very thirsty. Let me go out and give them a drink too." So he says, "Thanks." So now she runs back and forth. She spends the next 3 hours, 3-year-old girl, bringing them pitcher after pitcher after pitcher after pitcher. You say to yourself, this husky fellow needs a 3-year-old to give his cattle a drink. I wouldn't take her as a shidduch. She doesn't seem too intelligent to me, you know. Let him recover and let him feed his cattle. Yeah, so that's Rivka Imenu, right? So Rebecca sees this huge man. Chazal tell us Eliezer was a gift given to Avraham Avinu by Nimrod. He was a huge man, according to some opinions. He was a giant. And Rivka's this pesky little 3-year-old. He needs her to feed that water his camels. You know how much a camel drinks? So, not only does she bring him a drink, she's going to get all the camel's water. Why? Let him get a recover. He's been riding on a camel for a while. Okay, very good. So he'll catch his breath and he'll feed his camels. So that's considered kindness? Imagine. You tell your wife, do me a favor, don't run the car till the tank is empty. And that morning you tell her, don't go to work before you fill the gas. You know, I noticed yesterday you ran on almost an empty tank, and I have a feeling if you go to work, you're going to get stuck along the way. Fine. And I really cannot afford to come and bail you out. I have a very important presentation. The boss is coming. The CEO is coming. This is my chance to get an advancement. Do me a favor. Don't call me. You're standing there, the presentation's about to begin, and your phone rings, and suddenly she's wailing at you at the other end of the phone. Mike, what's with you? You were right. I need you to come get me. And the CEO is looking at you, and everyone's looking at you. And you're looking at the phone. And you, what are you going to do? So you decide you're going to be faithful to her. And as you go, you get an SMS from the boss. Don't bother coming back. Now you show up there, and you brought your tank full of gas. What kind of look do you have on your face?
Smile. I just smile at that point.
There's nothing else you can
do. What does the Torah tell us? What does the Chazal tell us? The Torah is all about chesed. Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed. So you'd ask me, I'd say chesed begins where? Creation. Oh, God created trees, God created food, God created drink. Bechein b'chesed uv'rachamim, we say it in benching. No. Chazal tells, where does the Torah begin with chesed? Because God told Adam and Eve, don't eat from that fruit. And they did. So you'd say, bite the bullet, I told you not to. No, along comes God, and he sews up their clothing for them. That's chesed. Chesed is when you could look at the other guy, and you could say, you did this to yourself, what do you want from me? Fry, what do you want from me? Sit there in the sun, I'll finish my presentation, we'll talk. No, God goes the extra mile, makes them the clothing. There's a price to pay, but God makes them the clothing. That's chesed. Chesed is when I don't owe it to you. I could come and say, you did it to yourself, what do you want from me? Go make your own clothing. That's chesed. So what's ahava? So what's love? The man is having his skin peeled off. He's being skinned alive. And he's thinking, I got to focus. So this is where we have to pick up tomorrow because the time has come for Kriyat Shema Shamayrav. I don't have time to continue. We're out of time. Oh, we have another 3 minutes. Okay. Good. So we're not out of time. So on the one hand, Hayamit Kavin. He was focused. On the other hand, lekabel alav, to accept upon himself, ol malchut shamayim, the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. It's a yoke. I accept it. It's a kingdom. I don't control God. God controls me. Yeah? I'm not in control. I am under a kingdom. But I can also do it be'ahava. Ahava. The root of the word ahava, according to some, is hav, to give. Ahava is not mutual. Ahava is when I am willing to give. And you'll ask me, boy, you didn't receive anything in return. And I'll say, right. Love is not about receiving. Love is about giving. And love is not about giving because I want the satisfaction. No, love is about giving when I don't see a satisfaction. I just want to give. When you'll have children, you'll suddenly see it. You can spend your whole day sweating for them. You know at the end of the day, come bedtime, they're going to give you, I don't want to go to sleep. Come on, you're such a mean dad. That's not the point. It doesn't matter. Kids never appreciate what you do for them. I remember with the first kid standing there as he's wailing his guts out and I'm trying to calm him down and he's driving me mamash crazy. It's already 2 months that I haven't had normal sleep. And I asked myself, is he ever going to know what I did for him? Never. Do I know what my parents did for me? No.
So he doesn't know?
No. As much as intellectually you realize it, emotionally it's very hard. You stand there and you tell yourself, they did it for me, I should feel it, but you don't. And you know he won't. He'll have a certain intellectual appreciation, but emotionally, it's just not there, it's not alive, it's theoretical. But ahava has nothing to do with getting back. What are you going to get? A kvetchy baby wailing you another hour. Ahava is the desire to give. And the more I can give, the happier I am. And so Rabbi Akiva has been waiting for this moment his whole life. This is the maximum I could give, and that's what his students ask him. Namulu talmidav rabbeinu ad kan. His students say, to this point, to this degree, amalim kol yamai hayiti mitzter al pasuk haze, bechol nafshecha afilu notel nafshecha. Throughout my life, I was waiting for this. When will I have an opportunity to do this? I've been waiting for this. This is my life. So he lived to 120. He accomplished the whole oral laws thanks to him. He was the one who kept the tradition alive. But his hope was, I want to love. I want to be able to express my love to the utmost degree. And we'll pick up here, Bezachim, next time, because now we really are out of time.